Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. I won't lie to you. I ate some food earlier that is making my stomach gargle and gurgle a little bit, as you so humbly refer to it as a buzzsaw killing two flies on a telephone pole.
No, I said your fart could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon.
And that's a phrase that is common in Indiana.
Let the record show, before we started recording, he ripped a fart that picked up in this microphone that sounded like he opened a giant gym bag. And then I was like, oh my God. He's like, you heard that? My ears literally were ringing from the noise, and you asked if I could hear it.
To be fair, audience, I've got a very good microphone.
Very nice. Well, we're off to a great start. Man, it's Back to the Future week. We're getting ready to celebrate 100 episodes. I can't believe I'm actually saying that right now. JD, let's reflect a little bit, I guess, on the first 99, man. Any standouts?
99 episodes. It's been a long journey. I still remember the phone call from you where you're like, hey, I've got this idea for a podcast. I didn't think we would last nearly this long. And to have gone through 99 movies up until now, including but not limited to turning you on Super Mario Brothers, getting to cover Sleepaway Camp with guest
Brian, Terrible Terror Podcast,
everything from The Mask to Demolition Man to Heavyweights to Major Pain to Jurassic Park, Batman, and all the great movies that we have on that master list that we created that first night that we have not even gotten to touch yet.
I haven't looked at it in a while. We still have a lot. We haven't touched Ninja Turtles yet.
We haven't touched Ninja Turtles, Three Ninjas, Surf Ninjas. Apparently,
Stay tuned.
We haven't touched Stay Tuned. I'm setting up a joke here, you bastard. We haven't touched a lot of ninja movies that were included in my top ninja movies.
Yeah.
On the blog.
Okay. Read it. And shameless plug. Backintimepod.com. Read it. Do it. Bacardi and Cola. Do it. Before you do it, go ahead and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, CastBox, YouTube. Pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, go ahead and just support the show. Drop us a 5-star review. That's going to help us continue to grow. JD, let's get into some first memories of Back to the Future 2, which is a total retread of Back to the Future 1, which give Doc Brown weird memories.
I am scouring the most deepest recesses of my mind. Watching Back to the Future 2, it was something that I didn't catch until it was on VHS. It was something that, you know, the neighbors behind our house, the alley over, Aaron and Brian, like, we used to do slumber parties there every Friday and Saturday night. This was back, you know, I don't know, like 28 years ago, last time I was on talking terms with my older brother. You can relate.
Yeah.
Point being, we were so excited, like, and I know we had rented Back to the Future, and then Back to the Future 2 came out on VHS, and we slammed that puppy into the VCR, and we watched the hell out of it that night, and loved every minute of it.
Nice, man. Yeah, mine's pretty similar. It definitely wasn't, like, at a slumber party. Now, those kids were the last name Liggetts. Are these the ones you've talked about before?
Yes, I have talked about them on numerous occasions. These were such good friends at such a young age that we watch so many movies, and I hope that they have the same love for cinema that I have based on mutual time that we spent together. That sounds like a plug for Grindr. I promise you it's not.
I feel like you need to reach out to one of those two guys and get them on the podcast.
Challenge accepted.
There you go. Be like, dude, we used to watch these movies all the time. I have this podcast where we review old movies. Come on, let's talk about it.
We used to play Spider-Man in your clubhouse, and then your cousin Fossil came over, and he stubbed his toe and started crying and got teary-eyed at Gus, and then they feuded. Like, yeah.
Okay.
No big deal, Brian. What's up?
Yeah, so yeah, this was definitely a rental. We, for whatever reason, we never, and I think I talked about this on the last milestone episode, number 50 in our archives, that we owned Back to the Future 1 and 3, but not number 2. So 2 was one that I had to rent from Blockbuster, probably rented it 10, 15 times over the years, probably should have just bought it, would have been cheaper at that point. Yeah, for that reason, I always kind of ranked them as I like Back to the Future 1, 3, and then 2. Now, in the last year, since we have done the Back to the Future episode and we had Kaseen on, I've rewatched all three movies and I've now re-ranked them. I have a new appreciation for Back to the Future 2 and all the things that it accomplishes on the filmmaking side. So I'm kind of liking 2 more than 3 now. So, yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to rewatching this again and going down that road. Now, here's something I have not done in a very long time. Let's watch the trailer. So if you're by a computer, you can get onto YouTube. Go ahead and type in Back to the Future 2 trailer. And you're going to be looking for the one that is titled Back to the Future Part 2 Official Trailer Number 1. Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, 1989 HD, and it was uploaded by Movie Clips Classic Trailers. JD, are you ready?
Locked and loaded.
All right, I'll give the 3, 2, 1 click countdown and we'll watch this thing together. Here we go. 3, 2, 1 click.
Do you remember the future?
You've got to come back with me.
Where?
Back to the future.
Are we back?
I gotta check this out, Doc.
Look what happened to your son.
He's a complete wimp.
Don't talk to anyone.
You've been looking, Bob.
Don't touch anything.
I need to borrow your hoverboard.
And try not to look at anything.
I didn't invent the time machine to win at gambling.
I can't lose.
I invented the time machine to travel through time.
Hey, Doc, I'm all for that. What's wrong with making a few bucks on the side?
No.
The time continuum has been disrupted, creating an alternate 1985.
There have been a few changes.
It's like we're in hell or something.
No, it's Hill Valley, although I can't imagine hell being much worse.
But they'll all be back.
Eat less, slackers!
Biff?
Hello? Hello, anybody home?
Why do they can't be you? You're so big.
Michael J. Fox. Christopher Lloyd. Michael J. Fox.
More like a couple of teenagers, you know?
And Michael J. Fox.
Mom, is that you?
Steven Spielberg presents a Robert Zemeckis film, Back to the Future.
Gotta get back in time.
Part 2. Coming November 22nd to theaters everywhere.
Okay, so we find out Back to the Future 2 is going to be a turkey movie. Thanksgiving weekend, huh? JD, start us off. What do you think of the trailer?
Like you, I have not seen this trailer in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I was, I know you didn't get my audio, laughing, LOLing nonstop.
Okay.
This kind of trailer is perfect to sort of take advantage of everything that the initial movie, Back to the Future, establishes, and then carrying over it to make it an actual true second chapter to the story, even though it's essentially a rehash of the first story.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it in such an original new way, like, there's no way that you can't be excited by seeing this trailer to be like, okay, yeah, we went from 1985 to 1955, but what if we go from 1985 to 2015?
I like your accent, number
Thank
one.
Thank you. Thank you.
I partially agree with your review of the trailer. I thought there were parts that were a little corny. I don't like the Michael J. Fox. And Michael J. Fox. And Michael J. Fox. I thought that was a little cringy. I would have rather them have been like Thomas Wilson. You know, Biff. Like, give Biff a little love. I know he's a butthead, but he at least deserves to be mentioned in the trailer. I felt good about the movie about a minute 30 in, and then the last 30 seconds, I was like, this is wearing a little thin for me, which is surprising. I thought I was going to really love it.
Yeah, we're typically swapped when it comes to love-hate on trailers. I cannot be more, like, jump out of my seat ready for this movie, because I think, and if you listen to some of the other episodes that we do leading into this conglomerate 100 episode, this is sort of like the perfect continuation. I'm so excited to see them literally go back to the future.
Yeah.
And in the first one, they go back to the past and then they return to the future, but now they're going back to the future.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I could not be more excited to watch the movie. The movie is not cheesy and corny and has aged terribly. I think the movie holds up wonderfully.
Yeah, you're not saying that, though, Kyle. I feel
That's
like
true.
You sound like a negative Nelly here.
All right, well, why don't I make like a tree and get out of here? All right, well, let's dive into the box office numbers. So, Back to the Future Part 2 was released November 22nd, 1989, distributed by Universal with a runtime of 108 minutes and a production budget of $40 million. Opening weekend, Back to the Future was number one at the box office, bringing in a $27.8 million weekend gross and bringing the Thanksgiving weekend $43 million in week one. And then in week two, they would repeat as number one again, $12 million in week two, bringing their 10-day total to over $60 million. JD, let's talk about the first 10 days, man. What do you think?
The first 10 days are the battleground of a film, especially when we're looking at a sequel film in this time period. And like you have said and elaborated on, the trailer may not have met the mark for what you were expecting. But for them to make any money at all, to me, says that people are responding very positively to this. And to respond to that tune of what you said, $60
million? Mm-hmm.
It's only going to go up from here.
Definitely. Definitely. So do you think the schoolyard effect was in play?
I do. There's no way it's not.
Definitely. I think this is something kids could not wait to talk about in 1989. Oh my gosh, did you see there's a hoverboard now in Back to the Future? That thing's cool, man. They're, you know, trying to make a skateboard their hoverboard. I tried it. It didn't work. Yeah, but they did spend 10 weeks inside the top 10, bringing in a pretty hefty gross here domestically. So we're looking at $118,450,002 domestically, another $213 million at the foreign box office, bringing the worldwide total to $331,950,000. JD, that's a lot of cheddar.
That is cheddar with pepper jack cheese and a side of Swiss. I love Swiss cheese. What's your favorite cheese?
What's my favorite cheese and why is it habanero cheddar?
I'm having deja vu about this. We've had this conversation before. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's a habanero cheddar. It's my favorite. Now, let's talk about 1989. This is a pretty big year for movies. We're talking Batman. We're talking Indiana Jones. We're talking, look who's talking. Where do you think Back to the Future Part 2 ranked in the 1989 domestic box office?
Ooh, that's a good question, especially since we're comparing it against one of our very first episodes, Batman, 1989, and it was a very good year. I know that I saw Batman in theaters. I did not see this in theaters. I feel like this is easily a top four movie.
Okay. Would it hurt you if I told you not only did Back to the Future Part 2 not break the top five, but it lost to Lethal Weapon 2, lost to Look Who's Talking, and also lost to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I will respond to you as such. Lethal Weapon 2, check out the blog on backintimepod.com.
Okay.
Number one bathroom scene in a movie ever.
Okay. Yep.
Comes from Lethal Weapon 2. Riggs Murtaugh! Fantastic.
Okay.
And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Pretty solid.
I give props to that.
Okay. Yeah, so they came in number six. Ghostbusters 2, number seven, right on its heels. That's got to be a future episode. There's quite a few in 1989 that could be future episodes. We're looking at Dead Poets Society, Christmas Vacation, Field of Dreams, yeah, some Star Trek in there. Let us not forget Karate Kid Part 3. That's a future episode.
Damn right. Terry Silva represents.
One of the great villains of all time.
My favorite, probably villain of all time.
Can I say, I know you're not into the show on YouTube. I think he's going to be in next season.
I'm not into it. I just don't have YouTube Red or Black or
you get a 30-day free trial. Just sign up.
Yeah, you told me that last season. I'm down for it, but I will say, like, I read the synopsis of this upcoming season 2, which is now out.
Uh-huh.
And they all sounded like episodes of Degrassi.
You love Degrassi.
I love Degrassi, yes.
Yes, and you love Karate Kid. This is Degrassi Karate Kid. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Oh, fine. Checkmate you win. I am down. I'm going to watch, especially if Terry Silver makes a comeback in season 3, movie 3. Ooh.
Okay.
My excited bone is tickled.
Well, let's take a little ride in the DeLorean to November 22nd of 1989 and talk about the top 10 movies of the week. So we mentioned Back to the Future Part 2 was number one. Number two, Harlem Nights. Number three, The Little Mermaid. Number four, Look Who's Talking. Number five, Steel Magnolias. Number six, All Dogs Go to Heaven. Number seven, Prancer. Number eight, Dad. Number nine, The Bear. And number 10, Crimes and Misdemeanors. Little thin at the box office, I would say. JD, what do you think?
Obviously, you have not seen Prancer in quite some time.
I own Prancer. I do like that movie. It's not aged well, though, I can tell you.
Oh, well, then never mind, because I remember crying in the theater with my grandmother while watching Prancer.
That's because you believed in Santa Claus and it grabbed you by the heartstrings. Yeah, I get
it. No. Well, yeah, okay. I was four or five. I stopped believing in SC when I was like six.
Oh,
I was
boy.
A big boy then. Big boy then.
I mean, there's a couple movies that, I mean, they're not my favorite, but like Little Mermaid obviously is a pretty well-known movie. All Dogs Go to Heaven was a movie I saw a lot in school. You best believe if you got a substitute teacher, it was going on. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple movies there, but the only thing I'd go back for would definitely be Back to the Future Part 2. Not a lot there. I guess you could go see Batman if you could find a theater that was still playing it at that point.
Yeah, but All Dogs Go to Heaven was... I still cry about that movie, too.
Well, the movie's depressing as shit.
And they have sequels, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. All right. Well, let's talk about the critic and audience response. So we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge it. JD, how do you think the critics received Back to the Future Part 2?
I shall preface this by saying I am going to be wrong. And I don't know which direction I'm going to be wrong in.
Okay.
But I feel the critics saw and watched the trailer in the same manner that you did.
Okay.
And they looked at the success of the first movie, and they looked at the trailer, and they looked at Michael J. Fox as, and cringed. And they came into this movie with a lot of negative anticipation.
I agree.
With that being said, I think it is a solid movie. I think it does the fans well. I think the fans probably responded more positively than the critics. But I really feel like the critics probably poo-pooed on, not poo-pooed, but they just probably were not as ecstatic as the rest of the population was. I have two numbers in mind. I'm going to give it a boost. I'm going to say 58. I want to say 48, but I'm going to be positive and say 58.
Okay. You're pretty close. It came in at 65% on the critic side, and audience score 85.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I would not have, I would have guessed audience at 75, not okay. at 85. So good on the audience. Love you guys.
Absolutely. Now let's hear from a couple of the critics here. So I'm going to go with, and these guys would form a team later on. Let's do Siskel and Ebert, because they've got two different reviews. One loved it, one didn't like it as much. So Gene Siskel of the Tribune said it was a surprisingly oppressive, rapid-fire, noisy, gadget-filled action picture lacking the emotion of the original film. Your thoughts on that?
Ooh. Yeah, he used a lot of big words there. Yeah. I didn't understand a lot of them. Who cares, because it gave you an A. What movie is that from?
I can't remember, but it's making me laugh.
Orange County.
Oh, yep. There we go.
That has to be a movie in the future.
It is. It's one of my favorites from that time.
Also one of my favorites. Also one movie that I would put as a perfect movie.
Yeah, might be.
Continue.
Okay. So let's
you have my blessing to continue, apparently.
So let's talk about Roger Ebert. Chicago Sun-Times, he gave it 3 out of 4 stars. Not a big review here, but he says the movie is fun, mostly because it's so screwy. Feels a little backhanded. What do you think, though?
If only he knew what America becomes.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's the fun part of reading these reviews, is they don't have the hindsight that we do. They go, my gosh, did they nail a lot of this stuff.
That makes this movie age so much better to be able to see, as I know you'll be able to say so much more eloquently than I.
Okay. And I find it weird that, you know, I've two or three of the reviews talk about there being a lack of emotion or not being fully engaged with the heart of the movie. I don't get that from this movie. I mean, it doesn't grab the emotions quite like the first one does, but at the same time, it's hard to do that when you've already watched the first one. It's kind of retelling the same story.
So here's my take on that is you have to watch a franchise movie, a movie like this, which is a sequel to a very heart-wrenching, beautifully written, developed, produced, acted, scored original. This is part two of that story. You right. can't have the original without the sequel. And while the sequel isn't the original, it's most certainly damn well a part of that original story. This is the next step. Mm-hmm. This is where it goes next. And in that regard, it's unfortunate where the third movie goes. Yeah. But we'll get there when we get there.
We'll get there in episode 150. Is when we'll get there. So
right around the corner.
Looking forward to it.
Reaching around the corner.
So what do you look forward to most when we get into the full episode in a couple days?
I really like the future aspect and the way that they paint what they think 2015 is going to look like. And it's so unique in that it's 2019 now. We've seen 2015. and it's nothing like the movie, but at the same time, the Cubs win the World Series.
The prediction being so close to almost being true is almost a little ridiculous.
It's almost as if somebody had a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Went back in time, funded a movie, went forward in time, and said, I don't want to get caught. Let me change the date, go back in time. Cubs fan, Michael J. Fox fan. This the story. Yeah.
Yep, they had a legit shot to win in 2015 and then actually did in 2016. So pretty incredible. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox, Spotify, YouTube. Everything is on there. You can check out our entire library and you can read JD's blog on there as well. So check that out. If you have an idea for the show, tweet at us at Back in Time Pod. I'm at KAutry29. JD is at Unjust Justin, and we are out of time. Time to get into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. Talk to you in a couple days. See ya.
Great Scott. Oh, that was awful.
More gravelly. You gotta go, Marty!
Marty! Oh, you get the sign off.
See ya, butthead.